19, verse 24 in the Good News Translation says, "This is the day of the Lord's victory. Let us be glad. Let us celebrate." King James says, "This is the day the Lord has made." I like it. This is the day of victory. Turn to someone and say victory. It's a day of victory because of Jesus. A couple of brief announcements. I'll give a heads up to this. My personal assistant the last four years has been Lorraine Gilbert. Her and her husband are moving to Los Angeles. We'll pray over them before they do. And in the next few weeks. But so we are taking applications for a new personal assistant. Please don't come and talk to me. I will forget what you said 5 minutes after we talk. If you have a resume, you can send it into the church and put attention to my wife, Mary Maiden. And we will see what that. Also, we've been doing without a production director, really a media director over our video for the last 7 or 8 months. We desperately need that slot filled. And I appreciate all the volunteers and all the helpers that are making this work. But we are in need of a full-time and highly capable person for our video ministry, really over all of our media, but primarily the video aspect of it. We are asked all the time for videos from our church, and we need to get ready for that and really serve the body of Christ as God's asked us to. In the month of October, about a month from this week, we're having our yearly leadership conference called Momentum. Everyone here is invited to it. There's no cost to it. Begins Wednesday night, the 22nd, Wednesday night, then Thursday morning and night, Friday morning and night. And it's going to be a great time. We're expecting, 500, 700 pastors and their wives coming. It's going to be a great week. Benny Perez will be here. Jay Haslip will be here. Pastor BJ will be, and Worship Nation will be here. I'll be speaking. Iverna will speak. It's going to be a great week. And a couple of things. If you're able, do we still need housing for that, Gail? If you could house, we have some pastors coming and from all over great, great distances, and some of them can't afford to fly and to pay for a hotel. And those are the pastors I want to help the most, the guys that need it the most. That's why we don't charge. When I go to other pastors' conferences, anywhere from, $200 to $1,000, which is wonderful, which also means the guys that need to come the most probably can't afford it. But if you could house someone for those days, your house would probably be more anointed and blessed having a servant of God there. So would you call us or call the church? You could ask for Gail Kirkland at the Church of the Rock offices here. That would be a great blessing to us. So if you have a big house and wondering what God wants to do with it, or an extra bedroom, and you like to cook and don't have 43 cats. I don't care if you have cats. I'm a dog guy. If you have cats, God bless you. This is also on the third week of the month, every month, we receive a missions offering. I just kind of announced it. But we are anticipating hundreds of pastors. In fact, they've already pre-registered. Many, many are coming. And we're excited about pouring into their lives and making a difference. Our church is affecting, over 100 nations. Every week, what we do here is being impacted around the world. And we're excited about the apostolic covering or apostolic network that we are now the lead agency in, called Church in the Rock International. So Pastor Ray's today in the Chicago area. All kinds of, in fact, we're about to, in a few weeks, open up Church for the Nation in Chicago. So whenever you're in the Midwest, you can go to Church for the Nation in Chicago. Some really exciting things are happening. And pastors, all kinds of pastors, and that are either currently pastoring or wanting to start churches are beginning to identify with us in the Midwest. It seems like something's happening in Chicago. It's very exciting about the heartland and about what God has for that part of the country. So please be praying for the pastors. In fact, what I might do in the next couple of weeks is just pass out, maybe for the intercessors here, various names of pastors so we can just saturate them in prayer, because a lot of them will just come limping in the town, have been through all kinds of battles, and just will need to be encouraged. And so we're just praying for all of heaven to break loose in that week for those pastors and leaders. And the theme of our services, of course, is for everybody. And what we want to do, what's important, you know, on the Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, especially services, it's important that our congregation is here so that the pastors feel what happens when God moves in this church. It's really a beautiful thing. It's a phenomena, what God does here in the worship services. And so please mark that in your calendar. Come out. I promise you the service is going to be wonderful. Usually Worship Nation does some special things too, and we'll make it a special time. So if you are willing and have the resource to be able to help us with a missions offering, this will go toward what we're doing with Church in Iraq. It'll go toward the expenses of the conference. It'll go toward reaching the nations. It'll go toward supporting our missionaries and the various things we're doing. Last month, Pastor Ray was asked to be a part of the, got really reconnected to some old friends on the Navajo Nation, and ended up being that really they positioned Pastor Ray and through him us to be a part of an ongoing expression of ministry. In other words, the biggest reservation in America has opened up to our church and to the ministry here, and that's a wonderful thing. We want to take full advantage of these opportunities, and we were able to take a nice love offering, I think $3,000 or $4,000, whatever it was, up to them and just give them. All we did was sow and love and serve that week there. Many of you went up also. And we're excited about those opportunities coming more and more for the kingdom. So as God's led you and as you are able, would you please give your offering, your missions offering. Thank you for your generosity and thank you for your prayers. And go ahead, ushers, receive it. Also remind you, every night from 6 to 8, we have a wonderful prayer meeting here. Usually in the front chapel, but sometimes it moves because of other things happening. But encourage you to be a part of that and to help us build a prayer foundation here at the church. Please pray for me this week from Tuesday to Friday. I will be leading a revival at Christ for the Nations in Dallas. And I'm excited about ministering to a couple thousand young people. And it's going to be a great, great week. So they invited me back, which means you know, either people like the prophetic or they don't. So I'm happy they invited me back, because this time I'm really going to unleash on them. So it's going to be fun. That's from Tuesday to Thursday, Thursday to Friday. Thank you for your prayers. If you have your notes, we're continuing our series on standing in the doorway. Today, the subtitle is Double Portion. Double Portion. I heard this week. It was so funny. A young businessman, single businessman, traveling, gets on the plane late, and he finally gets back there. He's all frazzled. He comes to his seat. And to his great surprise, pleasantly, he's surprised to see a beautiful young blonde woman sitting there right next to him. So he sits down next to this pretty blonde young woman. He begins to dialogue. And finally he says, "Well, what kind of man are you looking for?" And she says, "Well, I like Native American men. Their golden skin and their high cheekbones." She said, "I like Jewish men, their dark hair and their wisdom about finance. I like Southern men because they're polite and romantic." Then she says to him, "Well, tell me your name." He says, "Well, my name's Geronimo Bernstein, but my friends call me Bubba." No. It made me laugh, honey. Zechariah chapter 9, the Bible says this, in a beautiful, poetic expression of God's intention to us as his people: "Return to the stronghold, you prisoners of hope." Don't you like that phrase, prisoners of hope? To be a prisoner of hope means God gives us an unquenchable desire, an unquenchable need, an unquenchable passion to see his promise fulfilled in our life. Hope is not just a general expectation of good. Hope becomes specific and dynamic, that we're hopeful because his promise is great inside of us. The beautiful awakening of an expectation. So we are prisoners of a heavenly expectation brought about by a promise given to us. Even today, I declare that I will restore double to you. Just touch someone and say, the Lord says double to you. Turn the other way and say, the Lord says double to you. Okay. So that's my subtitle today. We're going to talk about double. Because I believe you are the double portion generation, an Elijah generation. 2 Kings chapter 2 is our main text today. And it shall come to pass, it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take up Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elijah, his protege, his disciple, from Gilgal. Then Elijah, the elder, said to Elijah, the younger, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Bethel. And Elijah said, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. This is an important story because at each one of these cities or places, they represent a strategic spiritual place of growth for the body of Christ versus believers. Gilgal means rolling away. It's a type of God rolling away our sins through Jesus. Aren't you glad you're saved? Your sins are forgiven. Micah 7 says, I will bury your sins. I will cast your sin into the depth of the sea. Psalm 103:3 says, who forgiveth all our iniquity. The Bible says in Ephesians 1:7, in him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sins. The awesome news of the gospel is Jesus Christ has forgiven the sins of the world. Salvation comes when we believe what God has already done. We're not asking God to weigh our lives and somehow judge if we're good enough to be saved. No, we're not good enough. God doesn't save you because you're good enough. God saves you because his son was good enough. God doesn't love and bless you because you're good enough. God loves and blesses you because he's good enough. And praise God for salvation. Come on, every day if you'll remind yourself that you're not going to hell. Remind yourself that you're going to heaven. Remind yourself that every sin in your life has been forgiven. Remind yourself that you've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Remind yourself that you've been transferred, delivered out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Remind yourself that no weapon formed against you can prosper. Remind yourself that you're a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Remind yourself that you're the child of God, that you've been adopted into the family of God. Remind yourself that God's massively, eternally, madly in love with you. Remind yourself who you are. Remind yourself who God is. And thank God, the Bible says, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Every time we forget what God's done for us, we lose the joy that's embedded in that grace. Remind yourself of your salvation and you'll have a good day no matter what's happening in your day. Someone said Gilgal. So everything's good at Gilgal. And Elijah says, it's okay if you stay here. Please get this. As charismatic people, I don't ever want to hear a charismatic person say, we're better than those Baptists. Well, we speak in tongues and they don't. So what? They might be 10 times better Christians than us. It's really important that we don't judge people because they've decided not maybe to believe and follow the things you're believing and following. Amen? Without any judgment, he said, if you stay here, it's okay. But double portion people have something in it. I can't stay here. If God's doing anything, I need to be in it. If God's moving in the earth, I want it. If God has something for me that I don't yet have, I want it. Double portion people say, I want everything Christ died to give me. I want everything the Bible promises me. I want to be a part of everything the winds and movement of the Holy Spirit is doing in the earth. If God's in it, I want to be in it too. And so he says, no, I'm not staying here. And he says, I'm going to go with you. And so the sons of prophets, verse 3, that were at Bethel, so they come to Bethel, came out to Elijah and said, do you know that the Lord's going to take your master from you today? He said, yes, I know. Keep silent. And Elijah said, you can stay here at Bethel, but I'm moving on. Bethel means house of God. Jesus Christ is the originator of the church. And the church is God's idea. I know the church is imperfect. I've worked in the church for 37 years. I know the church can be a place sometimes of great hurt and all kinds of personal problems. I know all of that. The only reason there's problems in the church is because there's people here. This building was so holy. This morning at 4 a.m., it just was filled with holiness and perfection. And then someone walked in. Amen? But we're a church that believes no perfect people allowed. We simply understand that the church is a hospital, not a museum. And in a hospital, you don't get kicked out for being sick. You get treated. Amen? So we don't criticize people that need help and that are seeking aid. We help them and believe God to help them. So at Bethel, the church, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Jesus said, I'm going to build. The word church is ecclesia. It means called out ones. The Greeks used it as a legislative body to bring order, to bring law into various parts of their society. The Romans used it. When the Romans would conquer a new territory, they would bring out of that territory people that they thought were capable of leadership. They would take those people, those called out ones, they would have them sit at the feet of Caesar, sit at the feet of the Senate until they learned the ways of Caesar, until they learned the mind of the Caesar and the ways of the Senate. Then they would send them back out into the very culture they were called out of so that they could bring the mind of Rome there. And Jesus said, I call people out of the world so you can learn my mind, but I send you back in the world to bring my purpose there. We're called out so we can go back in. We're salt and light. Amen. Salt doesn't preserve anything it's not touching. Light cannot drive darkness unless it's present. So that's what the church is. Jesus is building a church that's not afraid of the world. Come on now. I love Facebook. Anything bad happens 5,000 miles away. Jesus is coming soon. American church, oh, God, protect us. Christians being martyred a billion miles away. Protect us, Lord. Your faith has to be strong enough to handle a couple hits. Your faith has to be strong enough to stand against persecution. And you have to be unafraid of the devil. I said you have to be unafraid of the devil. Let's not act like Islam is more powerful than Jesus. Let's not act like communism or whatever it is Russia's doing. Let's not act like the things that are happening are irreversible and unredeemable. Can I have an amen from this Presbyterian congregation? Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm going on. Okay. The reason why this is important is this. When we honor our spiritual fathers, we inherit their victories. You can't have a double portion of anything that you've dishonored in your life. And so Elijah's task was to serve. Elijah's task was to lead and finish his generation. I prophesy and I speak to every person over 45. God's going to give you the grace to finish your race. I prophesy to every person 45 and younger, don't miss your moment to serve, because whatever you serve now, you'll possess then. And so he said, oh, I'm going on. I'm going to Jericho. Everybody say Jericho. Jericho means sweet, fragrant place. As the Lord lives, as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So Elijah said, I'm not leaving. So Jericho means sweet place. To me, it's a type of the Holy Spirit. The beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues, working of miracles, gifts of healing, supernatural faith, word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, the beautiful fruit of the Spirit, love and joy and peace and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, patience, self-control. The workings, Jesus said, you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us the Holy Spirit. Jesus could be one place at one time. He said, when I go to heaven, I'll be everywhere all the time, because the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Ghost is going to come, and he will remind you of what I said. He will guide you and lead you into all truth. He will show you things to come. He will empower you. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. He will cover you. He will guide you. Thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. But it's important, especially in Pentecostal and charismatic churches, that we don't act like just having the Holy Spirit is the end of our journey. Turn to someone and say that God has more for you. And he said, you can stay here after salvation, after becoming a part of a vibrant local church, after receiving and moving and being filled with the Holy Spirit. Yes, yes, you can stay here and enjoy all these blessings, but I'm going on. I'm going to say this again. Whatever you serve today, you'll possess tomorrow. Elijah said, I'm going with you. Sons of prophets pop up again. Hey, don't you know the Lord's going to take your master? He says, yes, I know. Be quiet. Elijah said to them, stay here, please. To him, the Lord sent me to Jordan. Everybody say Jordan. Jordan was the boundary between the wilderness, the promised land, and it was a national boundary, and it was a spiritual boundary. When the children of Israel crossed over into the promised land, it was a type of walking into the kingdom of God, living a life in the kingdom, learning to apply the principles of God in our life, finding our mountain of influence. In your life, you're assigned a place, a territory. You're assigned a mountain. We call them mountains. These seven mountains represent the entirety of all of human life anywhere in the world. Family, church, government, business, education, arts, and media. Somewhere in one of those mountains or more, you have an inheritance. You have a destiny. You have unconquerable authority. You have uncommon favor. You have a place God wants you to take for him. You have a place that will make you happy when you're a mountain. When you're doing what you're called to do, you'll find your sweet spot, the thing you were made for, the thing you're destined for. You'll find an anointing to accomplish the will of God. God has a mountain for you to take. And God said to them, cross over the Jordan, go take that land for me. And once again, Elijah is going to cross over the Jordan. And Elijah said, no, I want everything God has. Double portion, people say, I want everything God has for me. Even if I have to cross some boundaries, even if I have to overcome some old beliefs, even if I have to cross over some difficult, I want it all. And Elijah said, you can stay here, but he said back, as the Lord lives, as my soul, as your soul lives, I will never leave you. I will not leave you. So they went on. The sons of prophets stood by again. Verse 8, Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, struck the waters of the Jordan. It was divided this way and that way. I love the King James, hither and thither. The two of them crossed over on dry ground. So it was, after they had crossed over, Elijah said to Elijah, ask what I may do for you before I'm taken away from you. So without going away, needing to pray, without consulting his friends, his ask, his desire was so evident, it just popped right out. Because you've served me, and because you've gone through these places, here's what Jesus said in the 8th chapter of John. If you continue in my word, you're a disciple. Next verse is, and you will know the truth, and truth will set you free. Truth doesn't set you free until you know it. You can't know it until you're a disciple. A disciple is a person that keeps walking in truth, keeps continuing with God no matter what he's saying. There will come a time in your life when to continue with God means to overcome something. It'll be a challenge to you. It'll be an intimidation to you. It'll be an offense to you. But if you keep going on with God, no matter what he's saying and doing, you're a double portion person. What do you want, Elijah? Without any kind of delay, he shoots back, I want a double portion of your anointing. Now please get this. Look at me for a minute. If our children aren't asking for a better life than us, if they're not asking for more of God than us, something in them is broken. Because God puts into the heart of young people to want to see more of God, to do more for God, to be more for God than their parents. There's nothing wrong. There's nothing prideful. There's nothing arrogant. It is a kingdom trait that every generation, the kingdom of God escalates and increases. I want more. In the kingdom of God, anything you can live without, you probably will live without. What do you want? I want twice as much. May God give you a prayer that when you say it, your mind goes crazy. May God give you a prayer that when you pray it, you offend half your friends. Well, who do you think you are? I'm just a believer, but I'm believing. I'm believing for what? Twice as much. Elijah is, he stumbles. He said, you've asked a hard thing. So Elijah said, how could God do anything more than what he's done through me? You with me? Elijah had fulfilled his potential. He had maximized his calling. And to him, there was nothing beyond what he had done. The next generation says, I think it's great what you've done. I'd like to do twice as much as what you've done. Come on, someone say I'm a double portion person. The last day church cannot look at the first day church and say, oh, if we could just be like them. We're not supposed to be like them. We're supposed to be twice as much as them. Thank you, Dr. McCree. You've asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I'm taken away, it will be so. If not, it will not be so. So he's asked them. Now here's something so important. When we ask in accord with what heaven wants to get, we enter into it to a time of supernatural acceleration. There are things that God can't wait to pour out on you and can't wait to do on the earth. And when we pray those things, they come quickly because they were already prepared for us. While they're talking, it came to pass while they're still talking and walking on that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire, separated two of them. Elijah went up by a whirlwind to him. Enoch and Elijah, the Old Testament men that did not die physically, but were carried up in a rapturous ascent. When Elijah saw this, he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and his horsemen. He saw him no more. He took hold of his own clothes, tore them in two pieces. He took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood at the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? When he struck the water, it was divided this way and that way, just like it was for Elijah. And Elijah crossed over. The next generation's floor should be this generation's ceiling. This generation's ceiling should be the next generation's floor. Oh, get ready. Anointings never leave the earth. Anything God has ever done on the earth, he'll do it again if someone is willing to pick up that mantle and believe God to do that thing again. Elijah goes up, his mantle comes down. Why? Because God doesn't need mantles in heaven. The omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God. He doesn't need healing anointings in heaven. He doesn't need delivering anointings. He doesn't need miracle anointings in heaven. They stay here under the jurisdiction of the kingdom of God, under the government of the Holy Spirit. And when Elijah saw this heavenly encounter, heavenly revelation creates earthly dissatisfaction. If you're not dissatisfied, it's because you haven't seen into heaven for a while. If you're not dissatisfied with the status quo of your current life, it's because you haven't seen what your life could be. Revelation introduces you to a divine opportunity, a divine possibility, and that divine opportunity and possibility creates inside of us a holy divine frustration. It's not about being unhappy because of whatever. It's about knowing God has something. You can't have the new till you take off the old. He stripped off his old garment and he went over and picked up the mantle that was waiting for him. And he began his first miracle, or Elijah had done his last miracle. We begin where the last generation ended. Where is the God of Elijah? Many years ago, I heard a message, where are the Elijahs of God? I know that's good. I know that's wonderful. That's not what the Bible says, though. So I'm going to say with the Bible. Where's the God of Elijah? Anything God's done, he'll do again if someone will pick up the mantle. If someone will say, I want that, I claim that, I'm believing God for that. That's the reason why testimonies are so essential. When you share what God's done for you, it allows someone around you the opportunity of picking up that same grace, believing God for the same thing, and experiencing the same result. Anything God does, when God does something for anyone, he'll do it for everyone if they'll pick it up. So Here's what I want to say. If you're 45 or older, would you stand to your feet? Because I just want to talk to you for 2 minutes. 45 or older, you are God's Elijahs. You are God's Elijahs. Turn to someone next to you and say, hi, Mr. or Mrs. Elijah, whatever they are, Mrs. or Mrs. Says that I am Elijah. Say, I am an Elijah. So the Elijah generation, God says, finish strong. I'm proud of you. Many of you, listen, the older you get, the more you go through in life. And people that continue with God as their lives chronologically advance are people to be respected and people to be learned from. You are anointed to mentor the next generation. And no matter what's gone right or wrong in your story, we need you. America needs you. The world needs you. This fatherless generation needs you. This broken heart generation needs you. They need Elijahs. They need mentors. They need people that will say, come with me. Keep following God with me. And God needs us to keep following him strong. Amen. To keep crossing over boundaries, to keep believing God at Gilgal, at Bethel, at Jericho, at Jordan, to keep going on. Say out loud, I'm going on. Now just lift up your hands, all you Elijahs. I declare over you that God strengthens you in Jesus' name, that the grace of God to finish strong comes into your life, that physical infirmity leaves in the name of Jesus, that mental oppression leaves in the name of Jesus, that heartache leaves in the name of Jesus. And that God excites you about the opportunity to lead a generation into the promised land. That God empowers you with faith to cross over Jordan. That God gives you a vision of watching your life increase to the next generations behind you. God, I rebuke premature death. I rebuke mental illness. I rebuke every lie, every predisposed mental, physical infirmity. I rebuke in Jesus' name. And I declare life over these Elijahs, that they're called to be leaders. They're called to set an example, and God, they're anointed to do so. Now just keep your hands raised for a minute. Say this out loud. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to me. Thank you today for the grace to finish strong. Thank you today for revelation to cross over into my promised land. I'm believing for more. I'm believing for more of you in my life. And today I ask in Jesus' name that you would bring young Elijahs into my life, that I can help, that I can encourage, that I can mentor, that I can support. God, send them to me, and I will receive them and do my best to lead. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, look at me for a minute. I promise you, there was such a desperate need in the church for leaders, for mothers and fathers especially. I promise you, that prayer just said, oh, finally. So what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen? Someone's going to come, and they may not look like you expected. I was hoping for a church kid. But you have an earring as big as your nose. You have different colored hair. You have tattoos in places that I don't even want to think about. They can't have twice as much of God without you. It's never going to happen. The best sons and daughters become the best fathers and mothers. And God wants to help them get it. Thank you. Be seated for a minute. Everybody 45 and younger, 45 or younger, stand to your feet. The next service will have 1,000 of them. 45 and younger. If you're 45, I guess you get both things. I'm sorry. I should have said. You can pick what generation you want to be in. Hey, I'm in both. couple of things to you. You are a double portion generation. Nod your head if you're... God wants you to have twice as much as any generation in history. And the reason why I know that's true is because the devil's got his bullseye on you, on your generation. But God also has his attention on you. The story of Job ends when God gave him twice as much as he had lost. Isaiah 61:7 says, "For all your shame, I will give you double honor. In the land you will possess double." I want to encourage you, young people. You're called to make history, to shake the world. And the grace of God is yours to do it. A couple of things. Don't let the enemy steal your hunger. Stay hungry for more, no matter what's happened. Number two, recognize you can't increase anything you haven't served. Elijah, in every way, was imperfect. The Bible mentions his imperfect disposition. And yet Elisha served an imperfect man through a process, and at the end of the process, he had twice as much of... Elijah did 8 miracles, Elisha 16. There was a numerical difference, distinction, because of one prayer. Say this out loud. I'm a double portion person. Say, come on, hold up your hands, young people. Say it out loud in Jesus' name. I'm a double portion person. Father, I ask you for more. I ask you for a double portion. I ask you for more of your grace, more truth, more life, more Christ-likeness, more anointing, more wisdom, more power, more love. I want more of everything you have. And I believe you have more. In Jesus' name. I won't give up until I receive what you promised. Now, just keep standing for a minute. I'm going to ask everybody that just sat down to find one of these young people standing up around you. Just move over to them. I want you to pray an Elijah prayer. Lord, give them twice as much. Give them a double portion anointing. You that are standing, just keep your hands raised. We're coming after you right now. Something's going to happen to you. I believe God's going to honor your faith and honor this moment. God, we speak life and double to our young people. In the name of Jesus. Come on, let your faith be strong for these beautiful young people around you. God, give them a double portion. God, give them a double portion. When you walk into your name, Jesus, wonderful, powerful, you're the Lord of all. How majestic is your name! How majestic is your name! Thank you, Lord, for healing every hurt, lifting every weight. God, heal us. Now, all of you, would you just lift your hands for a minute? Listen, God needs to heal the hearts of Elijah's so they can help heal the hearts of Elisha's. And wherever you are in life, God is ready to strengthen you. He's ready to heal your life. I love the fact that the Bible says old men will dream dreams. In other words, God will keep talking to you about your future your whole life as long as you listen to him. Father, thank you for healing, for grace, for strength. Prayer team, would you please join me down front? Come on, for just for a minute, everybody, just, I feel God liked it that we just prayed for each other like that. Something happened. And fathers and mothers bless their sons and daughters, both natural and spiritual. And you walk into the room.
When you walk in the room. When you walk in the room.
When you walk in the room.
There's nothing like it.
There's nothing like it.
When you walk in the room.
When you walk in the room. I say double portion. Come on, say it again. Double portion. Thank you, God, for double portion. It's the right of the firstborn son. Thank you for giving it to us by Jesus. Thank you for your grace. Today, if you need prayer for any reason, if you're here and if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior and Lord, today's your day to come to Him. If you're needing physical prayer and want more prayer for physical healing, we want to pray for you. If you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, with the scriptural evidence of a prayer language, we'd love to pray for you. If you're just going through a hellish battle and say, I want some more prayer, come on down front. Anyone wanting prayer, please come forward. We'll make sure to cover you in prayer today. Rest of you for just a moment longer. When he walks in the room. When you walk in the room. When you walk in the room.
There's nothing like it. There's nothing like it. When you walk in.
I love you. You're an awesome church.